getting to the bottom of the science, intuition, and experiences that affect our body and mind. This is Gut Feelings with Lo Bosworth. Hi, everybody. It is Lo. Welcome to your brand new episode of Gut Feelings, where we talk to experts and your fave celebs, of course, about matters of the head, heart, and health. I'm your host, Lo Bosworth, founder of fem care brand Love Wellness. You can find us at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Amazon, and of course, lovewellness.com. And on this show, we ask the questions you have always wanted to so that we can all figure this stuff out together. So today, I am delighted to welcome New York Times best-selling author, plant-based cook, recipe developer, entrepreneur, Roddy Devlukia Shetty to the show. Roddy is an Ayurvedic health counselor and advocate for wellness and mindful living. She has a very deep-rooted passion for holistic health and well-being, and she's dedicated her career to empowering individuals to cultivate a really balanced and fulfilling lifestyle through nourishing their mind, body, and spirit. I have to just tell you, today's episode's really good. Drawing from her expertise in plant-based nutrition, Ayurvedic principles, and mindfulness practices, Roddy's holistic approach to health really emphasizes the interconnectedness of physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. She encourages individuals to embrace self-care as a foundation for overall well-being. I am so excited that she is joining us today to answer some of our questions. Hi, Roddy. I am so happy to have you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You just emit energy and light and joy. It's just like beaming out of your face.
Oh, God. It's all the tea I've had this morning.
Yeah, or all the plants you eat.
Yeah.
Shucks. I'm such a fan. I think that you are doing such work for positivity in the world. And I know that you talk a lot about the health benefits you experience from your lifestyle and all that stuff. So I'm just so happy to have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you.
To bring a different perspective to our listeners. So welcome to Gut Feelings.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited to be here.
How's your day going? What's new with you? Tell us the goss.
Okay, well, what am I doing right now? So I just came back from my book tour. It's been about a week since I've been back. So I was traveling a lot. So I finally got back home. And honestly, it feels so nice to get back to a routine and to my comfort places and waking up in my bed. You know, like all the things that you really miss when you're traveling. But also, I crave routine. Like, I am someone who naturally can be all over the place in my mind. And so what I really need is stability and routine to get me back on track, to be able to actually think systematically also. And so having that routine back. And when I come back this way, it means I go to bed by like 8 o'clock and I'm up by like 4:30, and I love my mornings. And so it's like my ideal situation. So I'm really appreciating getting back into a good routine.
It's so funny you say early to bed, early to rise. My boyfriend and I did a big, I have a terrace at my apartment and all these mature plants out there. We did a huge cleanup of all the plants this past weekend, like full gardener mode. And we've passed out at 8 p.m. and woke up literally between 4 and 5 and thought, we're ready to go. Is this our new life? We loved it, though. It felt so energizing.
Yeah, it is. And you said you did a clean up. I've been in, I think spring brings this feeling of spring cleaning. I have been clearing out every part, my kitchen, my closet. I've just been trying to do a full clean out and it feels so good. I do think spring brings that energy of cleansing, and whether it's your body, whether it's your environment externally, it really calls for that. And I'm kind of leaning into it.
Yeah, 100%. The rebirth, the renewal, it's upon us.
Exactly.
Well, congratulations on your book tour. I know what a heavy lift something like that can be. So blessings on the book, but also blessings that you're back home. I'd love to talk a little bit more about Junie. And you co-founded this company with your husband, Jay. And I'm so impressed by that. You clearly put in long hours together, I assume. You probably deal with a lot of the stress that comes along with operating a business together. How do you keep your relationship good when your husband is your co-founder? I'm so curious how you do that.
You know, the best thing is that we both have very different skill sets. And so we both kind of manage different parts of the business. And actually, we're very rarely on the same calls together for work, unless it is a big team meeting where we're all coming in. And so I love to do the creativity behind the colors, the branding. I love doing all the flavor profiles. I've been on calls this week and testing all the different we've got new flavors coming out. And so I love being part of that world. And he's really good at the strategy, the marketing, all of that stuff. And so we actually have, I know what calls I'm going to be on and which ones I'm not going to be useful on. And he knows which calls he's going to be necessary in and which ones there's no point him even being there for. And so I do think that helps. I think sometimes it's difficult if you both have the same skill set and you both think you're good at the same things, because then you're kind of battling it out. Whereas he doesn't even ask about the flavors, and I don't even ask about what he's doing on the marketing calls. And so it's kind of like we're playing to our strengths in it. And we don't tend to really talk. We have...
So you're like, the answer is don't interface at all.
I mean, we don't actually talk about work outside of our work hours with our team. I think we really allocate specific time during the day where we're talking about those things. And sometimes it will trickle into our personal life, but more in the way that we'll drink it and we'll be like, you know what, I think we need to change this about this. Or we'll look at the can and discuss it in that way. But we've managed to, after a teething process of noticing how we can come at each other in our personal time unnecessarily, we've kind of found a way to strategically do that in work hours instead.
That's so funny. So you would say that actually work kind of like you channel some of your like relationship stress, it's totally normal, into more of like the work
part
of your relationship. That's actually interesting. It keeps your personal life fresh and joyous and above board.
Yeah.
And then you can just duke it out in that creative meeting.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think it just helps that we both have different skill sets, and that's kind of a blessing.
That's interesting. So, you know, we get a lot of outreach from people who are interested in entrepreneurship. And, you know, a few people have spoken to us specifically as it relates to a podcast question about, I want to start a business with my partner. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? And for you, it sounds like it works. And I think for other people, it doesn't work. So do you think that it really comes down to the skill set differentiation?
I think it comes down to appreciating and valuing the qualities that your partner has in work and in other ways, and vice versa. Like, if you don't appreciate their skill set and their qualities, it's hard for you to be able to see them, use them, and also not feel this competitive nature of being better than one another. We can both be great in our own specific areas. And I think it's really about valuing the other person's opinion and their skill set. I think when you feel like the other person doesn't have anything to offer, naturally you're going to shut them down. Or if you feel like the other person isn't giving enough in the area that you're giving in, it can cause friction. And so having specific roles within the company is really important. And I think that's a good place to start. We're differentiating where you're going to participate and your partner's going to participate.
Yeah. I'm curious, where do you guys draw the line with each other? Where you're like, okay, we have to stop talking about this. This is uncomfortable. We need to like draw a line in the sand. Do you guys like ever reach that point? And do you have those guardrails set up?
We both have a thing of like, I know that we both work quite intensely. And so at the end of the day, I don't really want to talk about work and he doesn't really want to talk about work. And so I will ask, how's your day been? And if something comes up for him that he wants to talk about as part of work, I'll allow space for it and vice versa. But he won't constantly ask, what's happening with this? Or how's this going? What's happening with this? We're not each other's accountability partners. We have other people within the team for that. And so there's other people keeping check on us. I think sometimes that's difficult when you are the person that's constantly asking your partner, has this been done? I think that's difficult in a team where you're not a partner, when you have a boss or somebody that's telling you, has this been done, and how you communicate that. And so I think we kind of avoid, we talk about work so much during the day, we're kind of over it by the end of the day and we don't really want to discuss it anymore. So I think we try and keep our personal life as our personal life and allocate like, okay, if we need to talk about this about work, we've got time tomorrow at like 10 a.m. to do it with the team. We don't necessarily need it to be a us time thing.
That's really impressive. It's a lot of discipline to do something like that. But I think it's great. I also like
I think we see the benefit of it.
I think it's also great that you have instilled a culture on your team where you are not the other person's accountability officer.
Exactly. I think that's a huge thing.
Because you don't want to get told by your partner all day long what to do or have you done this. No. That feels bad.
And it feels like a teacher or a boss role where you're each other's equal and partner. So you don't want to feel like one's a superior to the other person when you're in a work environment.
Yeah. So I'm curious for you to give listeners just kind of your general backstory, how you've gotten here. You have an incredible book. You have Juni. You're working on so much. And so tell us a little bit about your belief system. I know that you love plant-based cooking and eating, Ayurveda, all of these things. So how did you get to this point? How did you sort of develop your belief system and how you live?
Yeah. So I grew up in an Indian family where food was basically the center of everything, as I'm sure with many cultures it is. And my mom had a full-time job, but she would still make us breakfast, lunches, and dinner fresh every single day. And it wouldn't just be like food that she'd put onto a plate. It was so thought out in the way that she was just nourishing her babies from like the moment we were born. I just constantly remember food being the way that my mom showed her love for us. And it was in every place that we traveled to, she'd bring to the table. Every new thing that she'd heard was healthy for us, she'd add into the food. You know, she was making us green juices when I was going to school. I was throwing them out in the plant pots outside because I didn't appreciate
no.
the time. Because I was like, oh, who wants to drink carrot juice? Oh, who wants to drink like a cucumber and whatever? It sounded so gross to me at the time. But she was doing that for us. And she had a full-time job at the same time. And so I think that love that she poured into the food literally has gone through my bloodstream to then be the person who also, I pour my love into the food that I'm cooking for other people. It's my way to show love, how to nourish someone in their body, hopefully in their mind and their heart too, just through the food that I get to prepare. And so, yeah, I had an incredible mother that cooked incredibly well. And then I went on to study nutrition and dietetics. And so I'm a qualified nutritionist. And then I went on to become a dietitian. And I worked in a hospital for a short period of time, for about a year and a bit, as a dietitian, where I was doing everything from diabetes clinics to oncology patients to everything that you would find in a hospital. I was a dietitian as part of that. But then when I got married, literally a couple of months later, Jay got a job in New York, and it was like his dream job. And by the way, I had no intention of leaving the UK, let alone the town that I was born and raised in. We had bought a home that was a walking distance between my mom, my sister, my grandma. We were all living within walking distance of each other. And that was probably one of my only requests when we got married. I was like, I don't care what we do. I just want to make sure I live within a mile radius of all of them. And then that turned and that didn't happen. So I really wanted to support him and what he wanted to do. And so we moved to New York. And that was a real transitional phase for me, because the 6 years I'd spent studying, I could no longer use my degree because I didn't have a work visa. And so I spent all this time building this identity as a nutritionist and a dietitian and thinking that's how I was going to spend my life. And I moved to New York and I basically am stripped of all of that.
That's so tough. Oh my God.
It was so hard. I'm not going to lie. I spent a lot of my days walking around New York crying. And honestly, no one cared, because you know what New York's like. You can walk on the street naked and no one would really bat an eyelid.
Yeah.
But then it really showed me how little I knew myself. Like, that was such a transitional phase for me, or transformative phase, I should say, because I got to a place where I was finally spending a lot of time alone, which as the baby of the family, I never had to do. My mom would always save me. My sister would always save me. I would always have people telling me what I should do. Even the degree I did was recommended by my mom. Like, I never had a mind of my own growing up. Because I was almost like, you know, when you're loved too much, that's basically how I feel I was growing up. I was sheltered and babied so much that I didn't have a voice of my own. And so when I got to New York, I noticed how little I knew myself. I didn't even know how to pick a plate by myself. I had to call my mom and be like, what plate should I get? What fork and knife should I get for my place? And then I threw myself back into study to really use my time well. That's where I actually came across Ayurveda. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's a 5,000-year or more old health science. It originates in India, and it really just encompasses mind, body, and heart, like soul health, and encompasses all of that through what you eat, the things that you do during the day, and how you can really optimize your own personal health. It's very individual. And so I started studying Ayurveda, and I did my yoga teacher training there, and I just fell in love. You know how a place can feel like home? I would say Ayurveda felt like home for my health. I started noticing all the things that my mom had done from a young age and that I could do in my life that was so simple, but made such a huge difference to my health and well-being and mindset.
Mm-hmm. Like what? I'm so curious.
Oh, man. Like,
we want the details.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I feel like I grew up, because we were Indian, having a lot of spices in our life. You know, every day was packed, our food were packed with spices. And at the time, it was just flavor for me. But then I remember my mom would also, whenever I had a cough or a cold, she would use ajwain seeds, for example, karam seeds. She'd boil them in hot water and she'd give that to me, and turmeric. And whenever I had a cut or a bruise, she'd make a turmeric patch and put it on rather than using a plaster. And it kind of started coming back to me that we've used spices as medicine for such a long time. And I didn't realize how medicinal these things are for me. And so rather than turning to Western or conventional medicine, I really leaned into Eastern philosophy of not getting to a point of disease, but helping to prevent disease by the spices I was using, the foods I was eating, how I was eating throughout the day, and every single thing I was allowing into my senses, recognizing what impact that had in my life and what impact that was having on my mood, my mental state, and my physical state. And so really what Ayurveda does, it helps you become more aware and connected to your own body. Because I think we live a lot of our life disconnected from our body because of how we've all been grown and taught from a young age to give the power of our health into other people's hands. And so Ayurveda kind of empowers you to understand your body, you know, become an active participant in your own health. Mm-hmm. And so I started studying about 6 years ago, and it's been a really beautiful journey back to myself through learning these things.
Everybody, I have a summer PSA, and that is, summer is too short to worry about bloating. Our Bye Bye Bloat capsules have been a bestseller for years, but now is the time for you to experience the magic of our brand new Bye Bye Bloat body care line. We worked with doctors and naturopaths to develop three brand new Bye Bye Bloat products that you can use anytime you want to depuff this summer. So the new four-step depuff and sculpt routine includes our OG Bye Bye Bloat capsules, plus the All No Firming Clay Body Mask, the Detoxifying Body Oil, and my favorite, the Lymphatic Massage Roller. It all works together to get your lymphatic system flowing, and it helps to get rid of excess water retention, and all for less than $3 per massage. Grab them now at lovewellness.com. I have a question about, I think everybody knows, to take good care of yourself, it requires a lot of work.
Yeah.
It requires a lot of time. Yeah. And we live in a world, society, culture, where the on-demand options exist, because I think to a certain degree, we're inherently lazy, or we're tired at the end of the day, or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Ease, convenience, affordability are huge factors in whether somebody decides to make themselves a meal at home from like incredible ingredients, yeah, or just order something on their phone and it shows up. And we all know the right thing to do. But again, it requires a lot of people.
It requires you to be an active participant in your health. Yeah.
It requires you to be an active participant in our health. But we now live in this sort of like weird land where stuff is easy to get. We're sort of like addicted to the easiness. We're addicted to convenience. And so,
have you read that book, Fatal Inconveniences?
No, but I'm sure I can tell what it's all about just by you telling me the title.
Yeah.
So yeah, this concept of fatal inconveniences. And so do you have tips for somebody who wants to improve their health? Maybe they're not going on some insane health journey, but they're looking for like easy ways to improve their health. So we had somebody write in and they're like, I want to do meal planning, but it's a lot of work. And what are some of Roddy's tips for meal planning to make it easier, to include great ingredients, but like stuff that I could get at the store really easily? Or so do you have thoughts on that, on how to live a healthy life where you really have to do the work, but somebody who wants to do just like a little bit less work?
Yes.
A little bit less work, but still good benefits.
Meal prepping takes me 1 hour on a Sunday to just prep.
1 hour? That's it?
1 hour on a Sunday. And by the way, I don't do the full meals. I don't like prepping every single thing to where I'm prepping something on a Sunday and then I'm eating on a Thursday and it's already sat for like 4 or 5 days. So I would say is, instead of doing that, prep the basics, or the bases and the foundations of your meal. So what I've done, I've started prepping all my proteins, because I find that the baking part and the chopping, I'll tell you what, baking and chopping are the things that take the longest. Once you've done a lot of your chopping, for example, if you know that you want to eat a salad during the week, chop up and keep separate all your different ingredients and keep a dressing in the fridge. Then all you have to do is pop it all into a box in the morning if you're going to work, or into a plate if you're eating at home, throw on the dressing, and you've got your salad ready. And so I'd say spend an hour, 1 hour. Don't even go for a half a day of meal prep, whatever. Try 1 hour in your weekend where you are chopping up the basic things that you know you like to use during the week. Secondly, prep your proteins. Because the problem is, when you don't have enough protein in your diet, you end up getting hungry, you get snacky, you want to reach for all those things that you don't necessarily want in your life. And I've noticed that having those basic things in my fridge, even just this week, instead of going to get a packet of crisps or chips, I am going into my fridge where I'm getting my tofu out and I'm just drizzling a bit of my dressing on and I'm eating that instead. And so I think preparation is necessary. And if you think about it, preparation is necessary in every part of our life. And so if you can allocate 1 hour to watch a Netflix series, you can allocate 1 hour to do your meal prep. And that's how I see it. I'm like, I'm so tired at night, I just want to wedge out in front of the TV. Or I could listen to a podcast, or I could listen to an audiobook. And so there's always the options of growth and doing things that are better for you. It's just about, one, learning to turn to them, creating these new patterns of how you spend your time, and two, trying to remain consistent with it if you can. And whether that means you do the meal prep once a week and then the next week you decide you're going to order out, but then the next week you do another meal prep week, you know, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. See what's manageable for you. So 1 hour of meal prep, start with that. Number two, if you're not used to using spices, because I think spices and herbs are such a big part of health and health prevention on a daily basis through your meals, buy yourself some spice blends. Every month when you go shopping, pick a new spice blend that you want to try out and start using that. You don't have to grind them from scratch if you don't have the time. You don't have to do any of that. Pick a few spices. And if I had to give you three to really focus on, which you can pop into your hot water in the morning, which is what I do, it's called CCF. Coriander seeds, cumin seeds, and fennel seeds. It's an Ayurvedic, like, queen of spice blend, which helps to gently detox your body. It helps to remove toxins out of your body in the morning. It helps to stoke your digestion and help your digestive fluids get activated. And so I usually start my morning with that. I boil hot water with these three whole seeds. And, you know, it's a beautiful way to start your day and get your gut ready for what's coming. So I'd say spice mixes, 1 hour of meal prep. And then what would be the last thing I would say for a healthier lifestyle to get yourself into it?
I mean, I think those two are good? Great.
Okay, good.
Great places to start. Yeah, no, we don't need a list of 3 to 5. Those two were fabulous. I mean, I do meal prep sometimes. I would say for the lazy inclined like myself, get a phone charger on Amazon that's a MagSafe phone charger that, like, holds your phone up, twist it sideways, and watch your Seinfeld while you do your food prep.
Absolutely. That is a great idea. I always say that when you're doing the washing up, put on a Friends episode, put on something, and pass time. Oh, I remember reading this in a book, actually. I can't remember what it's called right now. But she talks about how you should connect something that you love with an activity that you don't like.
Exactly. Like, my chopping while I'm Seinfelding.
Exactly. If you don't like walking, get a treadmill, put it in front of the TV and walk while you're watching something. And so you're creating new relationships between things that, you know, you start creating a better relationship with things that you don't like by incorporating things that you do like.
Yeah, totally.
You could go the other way though. You could end up really hating that show because your workouts, but hopefully not. It won't go that way.
Yeah, no. Everybody, a very quick reminder, you can get 50% off new subscriptions and 25% off for life right now at Love Wellness. And it is the perfect time to prep for a summer of travel, hot nights, wet bathing suits, and fun events. You know, summer SOS, those problems happen all the time. So skip the bloat and vaginal discomfort this summer, all summer long. Head over to lovewellness.com. I have one last question for you. She writes, this is like a question that somebody sent into the show.
Oh, amazing.
Roddy, as an Ayurvedic health counselor and advocate for mindfulness, what strategies do you recommend for quieting the mind and reducing stress in our fast-paced lives, especially for those who struggle with anxiety or racing thoughts?
Oh my gosh, well.
She tells us what she struggles with, but I won't get into the comprehensive list. Okay, because yeah. You can imagine it's the normal things.
Well, I can speak as someone who has those same tendencies. This past year, doing a lot of things that usually would bring me anxiety, I have found different mechanisms to help myself push through and actually do them. And so One of them, which has been honestly a lifesaver, is breathwork. And by breathwork, I mean there are different types. In my yoga teacher training, I learned about all the different types of breathwork that you can do that actually create different energies in your body. So there are different breathworks for calming your mind, energizing your mind. So I have a different breathwork that I do in the morning that is to calm me. I have a different breathwork that I will do in the afternoon when I'm feeling that sluggish post-meal kind of, oh, I don't know whether I can get back to work kind of breathwork. And then another one that can help you fall asleep or to really relieve your stress in the evening. And what I would say is breath is the anchor between your mind and your body. Anxiety comes from when you're living in the future or in the past. You're constantly not present in the moment. And so breath can help bring you back to the present moment so you can actually be active and start doing, like, you know, I think anxiety stops us and kind of acts as a, what's the word, like a prison that we end up living in, which doesn't allow us to do what we want to do throughout the day, or at least do it to our full potential. And so breath has been the one that gets me onto podcasts when I'm feeling nervous, that gets me onto a stage when I feel like I would have never been able to do that. And that slows me down. If you think about it, like, your breath changes with every emotion.
It's
that's
true.
One thing that changes. You might have seen me do it a few times during this podcast. I take a deep breath every time I notice myself speaking too fast because I notice my mind has started to race. And so I'll take a deep breath and you'll notice my pace will start slowing down. Mm. And so I think it's such a simple thing. It's free. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go get anything. Start paying attention to your breath.
What's the resource for this breathwork?
I mean, this isn't in my book at all. I do have it in my book, but I also think I have a post on it online. But if you look up, okay, I'll tell you the three.
Because I'm now want to go look at this breathwork because I wake up often in the morning with anxiety about a dream or a concern or whatever. Yes. And I'm like, oh, is there like a tool I could incorporate just laying in bed when I wake up with panic?
Yep. Okay. So there's one called the full yogic breath. And essentially, it's when you start taking the breath in through your nose and you almost imagine the breath going through each body part. And as you feel it going through each body part, you slowly loosen in those areas. And so you feel it going through your nose, your throat,
doing it,
your chest, your stomach. And then you imagine it pouring all the way down to your feet. And as you exhale, you do the same thing. You let go of each body part, every part that you're feeling stress in. You notice the areas that you are feeling stressed and you say, I no longer need this in my life. As I release my breath, I'm releasing that from my body too. And so that is full yogi breath.
Nice.
You can do 10 of those breaths when you wake up.
I feel good even after just two.
I know. And then the energizing one, it's called Kapalbhati, which means skull shining. And what it does is it increases the oxygen and it goes a bit like this. You take a deep breath in and then short exhale. Sorry, I've got a bit of a stuffy nose.
But, me too.
Yeah, but essentially what it does is if you do that breath for long enough, you'll suddenly start noticing tingling in your head. You'll notice there's more oxygen that is kind of being brought in to your skull and all over your body. And that really helps you to refocus. A second one for refocusing is called Brahmi. And it's essentially you put your thumbs in your ear. First of all, put your hands over your eyes and then put your hands in your ears. And then you are making a humming sound. You keep your hands over your eyes for a couple of seconds. And then when you come out of it, your kind of eyes might be a bit hazy, but it really helps to refocus. And I'd say the second one, the Kapalbhati is for energy. This one is focus. The first one is for relaxation. And then for anybody who struggles with sleep, there is a breath work and a meditation called Yoga Nidra. And that is an amazing sleep meditation. You can find it on YouTube. There are so many of them. But yeah, those are probably my favorite ones for anxiety.
Those are amazing. I love tactical things that people bring to the show. So hopefully anybody listened today did those alongside with us. Or if you're watching the clip on social media, you like jump into our meditation with us. That's so fantastic. I'm going to start incorporating those. I have done breath work, but a different kind of breath work, like in for, out for, you know, different things. Yeah. But I will say that I believe in the power of breath work. It has helped me through some really challenging moments. So I love some new tools.
Yeah.
This has been amazing, Roddy. I'm so happy you were able to come onto the show. Again, you just emote joy and energy, and it's so nice to see that.
Well, you're amazing. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Where can our listeners find you on the internet?
You can find me Radhi Devlukia on Instagram and all the other platforms. I have a book called Joyful. It has everything from plant-based recipes to mindfulness practices that can help bring little moments of joy throughout your day. And I also have a podcast. Well, it might be out already, but a podcast will be coming out or is already out called A Really Good Cry. And it comes out next week. So it might be out by the time this is out.
A Really Good Cry. I love that. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Thank you for the advice. And we'll let you go.
Thank you.
Bye, Radhi.
Bye.
Everyone, please join me in giving such a big thank you to Radhi for coming on the show today and getting real with us on so many topics. Also want to thank all of you for listening in, watching, joining me for this episode. If you have a head, heart, health question, email us at gutfeelings@lovewellness.com. You can DM me or Love Wellness. You can leave your question on our show's social posts in the comments. And if you like this show, please, please hit that subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. With moi, I'm Lo Bosworth, and I will see you next time on Gut Feelings.